While people are getting to their seats, I have a small announcement. Considering that Laconia gets a fair number of visitors during the summer, a couple of us have decided to do a weekly kind of potluck. It will be enough to feed some visitors. So, Lene, we have food for you, okay? And we would love to have you stay by with us. Our scripture this morning is Matthew chapter 22, verses 12 through 14. Matthew 22, 12 through 14. And he saith unto him, Friend, how camest thou thither without having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then the king said to the servants, Bind him hand and foot and cast him into the outer darkness. There shall be no weeping and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. Steve Berry, our head elder, is giving us our sermon today. Or perhaps it's one of his little talks.
Yes, thank you.
We look forward to hearing.
Thank you.
Of course, in this church, we don't really have a head elder. It's kind of like the Godhead. You know, there's three. Edna and I and Dan, we work together. And no one has been voted in as head. We just work together, like the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. And Edna's the Spirit. Dan's the Father. I'm the young son. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a blessing it is to be here together, to fellowship with one another, and to have you in our presence. Always here with us as we enjoy this family day where we're all here together. So bless the sermon, the message, whatever we want to call it today. Speak through me, and may each one hear what you would have them hear. And may we all grow in our understanding and our relationship with you and with each other. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I hear some of you out there kind of in the same situation. Anybody? I hear a few coughs. Is that you allergic to something, or is finishing up colds, or... Yeah, you know, it's that spring thing, right? Yeah. Speaking of spring, I heard this morning Alexa told me a joke. She asked, why was the rabbit so happy? The answer is because some bunny loved him. And Jay's saying, oh no, not again. Shut that guy off. You know, let's turn to the memory verse, or the scripture, I should call it. It's in Matthew chapter 22. We just want to look at verse 14. Verse 12 introduced us a little bit, because I think we know the story. There was a celebration going on there, actually a wedding feast, right? And somebody got in, but they had the wrong clothes on. Now, we don't want to go too much into that part of it, but the result of that was that he was cast out into inner darkness. And then Jesus says something there that's a little troubling, a little puzzling when you look at it. It says that many are called, but few are chosen. Now, what's that word many mean? You think about it, if I asked Edna how many cookies she said, she made many cookies, I'd say, well, what's many? I'd say, well, I made 4 dozen cookies. Well, that's many, right? Well, how many would many be if I ate many of them? Would that be very many? Yeah. Huh? I mean, what was that?
Too many.
That'd be too many. Well, what would be too many? I mean, she said, if she said, don't eat too many, well, let's see, many, well, she made 48, and 2 times 48 would be 96. That's too many's. So if I only eat 3 dozen, you know, she's got quite a few left there. So you see that word there, many, we can use it in lots of different ways. And here, when you look it up in the Greek, it has all those different meanings. A lot of, many, plenteous, all those kinds of things. So we have to use the scriptures and look up some other scriptures. And we're not going to look them up, but we look into Peter. How many does Peter say God wants to be lost? None. He wants all to be saved, right? So there's all of them. If we go over to Romans, we find out in chapter 8, Paul says that God has predestined that how many should be saved?
All
should be saved, right? Well, that means that we're all going to be saved because he predestined it, right? We have no choice in the matter. Well, we know that's not true because in the first verse we looked at, it says only few were chosen. So we have to look at this word many and say, what he's talking about here is all. All have been what? Called. Called. Now, when I looked up that word called in the Greek, it said that it just meant invited. Some people are called to be ministers, some called to be doctors. This here is everybody's called or invited to something. It doesn't say necessarily there. Of course, we were just reading before this, if we back up a little bit, about a feast, a wedding feast, actually. We talked about that this morning with the 10 foolish virgins getting ready for the bridegroom to come. So many were invited. When it comes to invitations, do you like invitations? Do you accept all the invitations that come? I got one the other day, phone call. A guy invited me for to come on a 3-day cruise in the Bahamas. You know, have you ever gotten those kinds of invitations? Okay. But we don't accept all the invitations. Sometimes we get an invitation we love, but, you know, we go depending on what we're invited to, who did the inviting. But this invitation that we're talking about from God, we could say is eternal life. The invitation is to eternal life. Now, when? Well, it was in Edna's prayer this morning. When's it going to be, Edna?
When the time is right. When God declares it.
Who knows?
God.
Only God knows, right? Scriptures tell us. So here we got an invitation. We don't know when it's going to happen. Where are we going? Where's this party going to be? Anybody know?
In heaven.
Heaven? The earth made new, right? Now, is that going to be a nice invitation? Do you want to go to this get-together? Let's describe it a little bit. What's so good about going to heaven?
God is there.
God is there. Wow, that's good. We start right off with the best. Anything else going to be there?
The mansions that he built us.
Mansions, yeah. We had that verse in Sabbath school this morning, right? He's going to prepare a place for us. Anything else going to be there?
Loved ones.
Loved ones? And what?
No mosquitoes.
No mosquitoes. Yes, our state bird will not be there either, right? The black fly. Cassie said that's an old joke, so I told that one yesterday and didn't even get a snicker. But that's all right. So heaven's going to be a wonderful place, and we could go on to describe it. The part we know, anyways, what we've been told, But the Bible says that eye hath not seen nor ear heard. So as good as we could imagine it's going to be much better. A whole lot better. So we have this invitation given to everybody, but then it says, but only a few are chosen. Now that's kind of troubling. And I don't know if it troubles you or not, but I looked at it very closely. The thing I found out there was that the word are and few are chosen is a supplied word. Whoever interpreted this or translated the scriptures added that word in there because it didn't sound right, I guess, when it said many are called, few chosen. You got to put a R in there or should be or will be or something, right, to hold it together. But it doesn't belong there. It's not there. And then as I looked at the word chosen, it really kind of has the meaning there of select or elect or choose. So now when we look at it, we can reword it and say that all have been invited, but only a few choose or make the choice or select to accept the invitation. Now, when you get an invitation, it has these four letters there, RSVP. That's French, right? Reply, s'il vous plaît, or something like that. And there is an RSVP that is needed when it comes to this invitation. God wants us to reply, s'il vous plaît, right? Does everybody reply? Have you ever sent out an invitation to something? How many RSVPs do you get returned, especially on time? Not all of them for sure, right? And you get some back that say no. And in this case, if God gets a no, what do you think he does?
Tries again.
Sends out another invitation, right? Keep sending out invitations until there's no more time left. But a lot of times, and especially in this case, I think what happens is that few even make a choice at all. They don't have time or they have other interests. It just hasn't caught their attention that there's an invitation out there at all. So they don't reply. God still puts the invitation out there, but that no reply is as good as a no. If I'm planning a big to-do and there's going to be a dinner involved and I have to pay $39 per plate and I send out RSVP for 200 people and only get them from 100, that's what I'm going to plan on. The ones who don't reply, especially by a certain time limit, those people are as good as they said no. So that dinner's not going to be prepared for them, is it? And that's the same thing with this invitation that we're talking about this morning. Now the next question then is, remember the W's? When, where, why, what, how? Who, what, where, when, why? And then they had a how in there, no W, except at the end of the word. Why is it that so many people either answer with a no, or a maybe, or just no reply at all? Well, when I get the call from that telemarketer, why didn't I just take him up on it? Oh yeah, sign me up. You know, when sometimes you get invitations from people, you say, I don't know if I want to go to that get-together. That might be a little rowdy. Maybe dancing and drinking and, you know, some things that I just don't want to get involved in. I may get a call from a family member who, might be just inviting me because I'm, you know, by blood related, but doesn't really like me. You ever had that happen? Yeah. I did that at our wedding. We invited some people who really didn't pay much attention to me over the years, and later on it was, why didn't you invite us to your wedding? You know? But anyways, what is the why? How come those people aren't accepting? We just talked about heaven, how great it's going to be, better than we could even begin to imagine. Why would anybody turn that down? Well, let's go over to John chapter 17, verse 3. John 17, verse 3. And what's it tell us there about eternal life? Somebody want to read it out to us?
And this is life eternal,
yes,
that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent.
Okay. So, this is life eternal, that they know the only true God in Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. When does eternal life start, according to this verse? When we know God, right? And this know here, when we see it in there, when we saw back in the Old Testament, he knew his wife. This is an intimate knowledge, very deep knowing, okay? So the why here that these people that don't accept it, I believe, is that they don't know God. They don't have that relationship with God. They don't understand who he is, and therefore they don't have eternal life, do they? And that's a sad thing, because it's there for everybody. All have been invited to this eternal life. Now let's look at John 3:16. I think we can all quote that one, right? For God
so loved the world.
Okay. Okay. Now, this knowing God, this is probably the most important verse in the Bible when it comes to knowing God. And it says there that he loved the world so much. That word Greek in the Greek, the word so, means in this way. Okay. So say I was talking about cake. The cake was so good. Well, how good was it? Would you like a piece? You don't even know what flavor it is, right? But if I start that out with, oh, I was at this dinner the other day, and they brought out this cake, and it had three layers. They were all chocolate. And in the middle was this frosting with M&Ms, and on top was shaved. It was so good. I mean, they cut big wedges out of it, and they put it on the plate, and they put chocolate sauce over the top of that, and then shaved more chocolate on, and then whipped cream on top of it, and a couple cherries. Now it was so good. You got a really good idea, right, of how so good it was. Now maybe you don't like chocolate. I never met anybody that didn't like chocolate, but there might be some of you out there. God so loved the world. We could reword it and say, for God loved the world this way. And if we go back and read verse 15 for me, and then verse 16, and you'll see what I just did with the cake, God did here with this, God loved the world so much. Read verse 15, someone.
And whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life.
Okay. And then when you read, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that
whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life.
Okay, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. See, that's the love is in the middle. And what makes this like the cake is, you can see that, say I was making a Boston cream pie, right? You take that chocolate cake, which is really one layer, and you cut it in half, And then you put the cream in the middle, put it together, and frost it all around to tighten it up. That's what God is saying here. This is how much I loved you. Jesus died for you. I love you so much that Jesus died for you. I gave my only begotten Son for you. So this is the way that God loves us. That's the illustration, the demonstration of how great his love is. So when we compared those two verses, we see that right in the middle. Love is right there. Now when we talk about love, this is a love that God has. It's like he gave his right arm for us. Jesus and him were so close that we can't even begin to describe it. We can't even begin to understand what it means for him to be separated from his Son, from the Son to be separated from the Father. But yet they chose to do it. That's how much they love us. So do we believe he loves us? You see? And that's how we get to know the only true God, is that we look through these, what he did for us and what he's doing for us. And he's going to continue to do. You know, Jesus is right there at the right hand, it says. And they're both working on all of our behalfs. Jesus isn't between you and the Father or between me and the Father. He's right there sitting beside him, and they're both reaching out to us. You know, when it comes to love, we think of who do we love? Why do we love? Well, I love her because she's good looking and she's nice to me, and or he's a good guy. He's always helping me out. I just love that guy or that woman or that my wife or my kids, whatever. There's reasons that we put behind this. But when it comes to God's love, he doesn't love us. There's no reasons for him to love us. He is love. So this God who is love, who created us and does all the things he's done for us and has prepared all that he's prepared for us, when we look at verse 17, we see that he didn't do what we would think he would do. He didn't condemn us. Right, Dan?
Right.
Dan's verse that he always wants to add to 16 is the verse 17. It says what? Yes.
But that the world through him might be saved.
So this God should have said, these people are, I should send my Son down there to teach them a lesson. How dare they turn their backs on me and do it their own way and say that my way is not as good enough. But that's not what he did. So there's another demonstration of God's love. He sent his only Son down here, but not to condemn. Not to condemn us. But that he would, that through him, that we might be saved. Now, some people think it's hard, I guess, to be saved. But I've heard others say that it's hard not to be saved. And we don't usually add this verse, Dan, but we're going to look at verse 18, because it shows us in verse 18 how easy God made it to be saved. We don't have to jump through hoops. What does it tell us in verse 18 that we need to do?
Believe.
Believe.
Who believes in him is not condemned.
Yes.
But he who does not believe, he is condemned already.
He made, yes.
Because he has not believed the name of the only begotten Son of God.
Yeah. See, believing God is our returning his love. It's our RSVP, we could say. I believe you. And that means I want to be with you and I want to be like you. That's the way we can reply and RSVP every single day, is just by talking to him and telling him and thanking him and praising him for what he's doing. So as we look at this now, the question that's asked a lot of time, and it's asked in lots of different ways, is if God is love, can you finish that sentence? Huh? Why doesn't he stop all this? Yeah. Why don't I have a better place to live? Why am I suffering this illness? Why is this person doing all of these whys and ifs? But as we look at the scripture, it says, "For God so loved the world." It tells us that God is love, 1 John 4, verse 8. So there shouldn't be a question. There should be an answer instead of the question there. That answer would always be, God is love. So if somebody is suffering, I could say, God is love. So I know that not only is he suffering with that person, he's doing everything he can to alleviate that suffering. And in the end, he's going to do the best for that person. But in light of the world, because remember it says, for God so loved the world. It's easy to think the world revolves around me, but it doesn't. God wants to save everybody. So sometimes when things don't go the way I think they should go, it's not because God isn't love. It's because he's doing the best he can to save everybody. The invitation. Love is the invitation. All those other things we talked about that are part of heaven and eternal life and the things that we can't even imagine, they come as a result of our accepting and wanting to be part of and having God's love. So the invitation is to love God, to accept his love. And that's the real RSVP. God, I love you back. That's what he wants from us. And Romans 8, verse 28, one of my favorite verses, that all things work together for good. And as we look at that verse and read the whole thing, all things work together for good for those who are invited, right? The ones who love God and are called. So the ones who have heard the invitation and love God enough to accept the invitation, they live according to the purpose that God has instituted, the purpose that he is carrying out, his plan. And his plan is to save as many as possible. So when we're carrying out his purpose or his plan, our part in that is first to love him, accept his love for us. Love begets love. And then that love gets passed on to those around us. And we were talking about that in Sabbath school this morning. By the way we treat them, by the way we talk to them, by the way we act, the care that we show for them, the love that we show for them. Love, true love, is loving the unlovable. Anything from the lovable or the unlovable to the lovable and in between, all that. That's what God wants us to be like him. He wants to give us the same heart that he has, and that's a heart that loves, that doesn't love but is love like he is. And we can only have that through, you know, asking for it. Eternal life is ours, and that's all he asks of us. Yes, we can study the Bible, we can learn about the prophecies, we can expound on this and that and the other thing, but really he wants relationship, and for us to pass that relationship on. We're going to heaven. We're going to be part of the earth made new. It's exciting. Have you ever seen that game, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? Have you ever been on it? Would that be exciting? How exciting would that be, though? Say, before the show starts, right, the host gives you all the answers. That's where we're at, folks. We got all the answers. He said, I tell you ahead of time what's going to happen, right, Dan? That's what we learned this morning. He tells us how it's going to be. So are you excited yet? Are you ready to celebrate? I got my drink right here. And that wasn't part of the plan, but my throat's getting dry. I'm going to have the kids come up here and help me. Evan and Noah, you guys back there? Bella?
Yeah.
You guys back there? I need you to do something for me, and then I want you to just hang around while it happens. All right, come on up here. Okay. All right. Ladies before gentlemen. Where's Bella?
Right next to us.
Are you here, Bella? Take like three of those or four of them, okay? And I want you.
I don't know what they are.
You got some? Split them up so you each got a certain amount. You all got some? One more? No, two more? Now I want you to go out there and I want you to find people that'll blow them up for you. Okay? And tie them. Blow them up and tie them. Because we're having a celebration today here. Yeah, go over there too. Give Grammy one. Grammy would definitely blow one up. Okay. Get those balloons all blowed up because we're having a celebration. This is an invitation to a celebration. What are we celebrating today? Is anybody here to celebrate? The Sabbath? What else are we here to celebrate? Huh? How about we're here to celebrate the creation? Right? World's created. Now, when we have birthday parties, we have celebrations of a birthday party. What are we celebrating at the birthday? Is anybody listening? We're having too much fun. That's good. Yay, I'm glad to hear it. Tell me when those balloons are all blown up and then give me a moment of silence. There's only 10, I think. I gave them all out. Did they all get passed out? Are they all? Oh, okay. Sorry. Well, it don't have to be perfect. This ain't job. This is fun. We got them all blown up? Huh?
Yes.
All right. Are we ready to listen? Okay. No, we're going to fool around in a minute. Just hang on a second. We just want the kids to remember. Kids, are you listening? Hey, Evan. Yeah, you ain't supposed to have a balloon. You're supposed to give it away. Only kidding. You'll get them back in the end, all right? But today's a celebration. And when you have a party, a birthday party, we're celebrating a year, right? We're celebrating the remembering of a birth. And that's what we do every Sabbath. We remember the birth of this world, the birth of all of us, and the God who created us. So this is a celebration today of that creation and of that God who created us. So what we're going to do now is while we sing, I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart, I want you to bounce those balloons up in the air and keep them up there. If they come to you, hit them up there. Can you do it? Can you have that much fun? Can you do it? The fans will just help, I think. They'll just stir them right up. You see? Sing it out. I've got the joy, joy, joy.
Bye.
Now, what are the people watching this going to think? Are they going to think we're happy and joyful and excited and maybe we believe what we preach?
Because there are smiles on everyone's face.
Amen. Everybody's smiling. Hey, it's a celebration.
Let's I had to keep looking up to see where the balloons were and look down to
see. That was fun, Steve.
I was a little hesitant to do that. And, actually, when I talked to Lene last night, she said she comes from those churches where they really get up and run around and dance and scream and yell maybe or something, and she likes it a little quieter, and I said, oh no, this ain't going to be quiet. But I hope, we don't do this every week, but I hope everybody will have that joy in their heart all week and every week and share it with those that you come in contact with. Well, let's bow our heads. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we know that if you were here with us today in person, that you would have been right out there bouncing those balloons up and down. You probably would have brought your own balloons. And Lord, you love us and you want to spend eternity with us. And that's going to include lots of good times. It's going to include a great marriage supper of the Lamb when we get to heaven. Lord, we look forward to that day. But like you, Lord, we don't want any to be lost. So help us to break down those barriers and come out of the shells maybe that keep us from being as open and forward as we could be with our love. Help us just spread it everywhere. That's the gospel, the good news of your love. We thank you for it and for this Sabbath day, this celebration of what you've done. And we just love you and we thank you all you do in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. And give the kids some balloons, guys. Don't keep them all.
Yay, we got the kids some balloons.
Yeah.